Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Zvachim Daf Kuf Vav. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur will be commencing from the Mishnah at the beginning of this new perek, the 13th perek of Zvachim. Before we continue with the Mishnah itself, let's glance at the outside margin in our topic heading that we provide in the Shas Ozer Marked Gemara edition. The nosei, the topic. So we feature here Shechita v'halo b'chutz. This is a situation where one slaughters and offers a sacrifice outside of the Beis HaMikdash. And we'll also deal with Tomei She'ochal Kochim, an individual who had absorbed ritual impurity, his Tomei, and he eats sacrifices. The Mishnah, Hashochet v'hamale b'chutz. A person does both of these actions. He slaughters a sacrifice and also offers it up, puts it on a fire outside of the Beis HaMikdash, and he does both of these actions in one state of lack of awareness. That's called Helam Echot. Ha'chayov al hashchita v'chayov al ha'alo. Even though he was in one state of lack of awareness, not realizing that both of these actions are forbidden, he did both of them in one state of unawareness, and nevertheless, he's chayav for each action separately. Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer, Shochat Bifnim Vehelo Bachutz, chayav. If one slaughters a sacrifice in the Beis HaMikdash and then offers it up outside of the Beis HaMikdash, he's chayav, he's guilty. Shochat Bachutz Vehelo Bachutz, if he did both actions, he slaughtered and offered up outside, Potur, so he's not going to be held accountable for the ha'alo b'chutz. Shelo helo elo dover posel, because at the point that he was offering up that particular sacrifice, it had already been rendered invalid by the fact that he slaughtered it outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Rashi points out, Shelo helo elo dover posel, Vanan, we require miskabel b'fnim bo'inon. In order for someone to be guilty of offering up a sacrifice outside of the Beis HaMikdash, he would have to be offering something, placing on an altar outside of the Beis HaMikdash, something that would have been fit to have been brought in the Beis HaMikdash. Dichtiv, the Pasuk says, Vel Pesach oil moyed lo yevienu. The Pasuk indicates that he, the person offering up something outside, did not bring to the Beis HaMikdash something that he should have brought. But if something is invalid, if something is rendered pasul before he offers it up, his offering is one of something that would not have been acceptable in the first place. So therefore, according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, after Shechitas Chutz took place, if one offers up that particular sacrifice, he will not be chayav for the ha'alah. Omrulo, so the Tanakama responded, the first opinion responds to Rabbi Yossi Aglili and says, well, even the case that you concede is guilty, the first case, the number one, Af HaShochet Bifnim, V'Male Bachutz, even that case, in effect, what is he offering up? He's offering up a sacrifice, albeit that was slaughtered in the Azora, but at the point at which he is offering it up, Kevan Shehotzio Poslo, once he's taken out a legitimate sacrifice that was slaughtered in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, but he took it out of the Beis HaMikdash in order to offer it up, it becomes rendered invalid by the mere departure from the enclosed area of the Beis HaMikdash, the enclosed area, namely the Azora, which is an enclosed area forming the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. And nevertheless, you agree that that case is chayev, so you should concede that the case of Shochet B'chutz and Ma'ala B'chutz is also chayev. We have a slash mark in the middle here of the Mishnah, indicating that that which follows is a new idea. But we'll see a similar structure where the Tanakama says his halacha, and Rabbi Yossi Aglili makes a distinction between 2 points, just like we saw him doing here. So the Mishnah goes on, Hatomei she'ochal, a person who himself was ritually impure, and he ate, bein kodesh tomei, bein kodesh tohor, chayav, whether he ate that which is a sacrifice that is itself tomei, the meat is tomei, or he ate a sacrifice that's tohor, nevertheless, the fact that the consumer, that the eater himself was tomei, that creates guilt. Rabbi Yossi Gvili Omer, Rabbi Yossi makes a distinction. Tomei shochal tohor chayav. If a person is tomei and he ate that which is tohor, the sacrifice, the meat, is pure, is ritually pure, then he is guilty. However, the tomei shochal tomei potter. A person who is tomei, who ate that the food item which is tomei, he's exempt. He's exempt from the high level offense of achilas kochim betuma, of eating sacrifices in a state of tumah. Why? Because in this case, shelo ochal ela dover tomei, he ate something that was already itself tomei. Amrulo, so the Rabbanan responded and disagree with his distinction. They say, listen, the case that you accede to as being guilty, af tomei she'ochal esator, even that case, kevan shenogabo, at the point that the eater touches the sacrifice that was previously tor, timuhu, he renders it tomei. And at the point that he eats it, he in effect is eating something that is already tomei. And you agree that that case is chayev. So just like you agree that tomei she'ochal esator is chayev, you should agree that tomei she'ochal esator is also chayev. V'tohor she'ochal tomei, if the eater himself was tohor, and he ate food, he ate sacrificial meat that had been tomei potter, he is not chayav kores, she'ein chayav ela altumas haguf. The heavy penalty of kores applies only to the case where the eater himself, where the person had absorbed tumas haguf, was himself tomei, not where the food alone is tomei. Before continuing with the Gemara, let us take a look at the topic heading that we have included on the outside margin. You'll notice the nosei, and also an indication that this nosei, this topic, continues to Kuf Zayin Omer Aleph. Makoros, sources, Lazhora V'oinish, for the negative command and the punishment, L'sheichir U'mala B'chutz, for this offense of slaughtering and offering up sacrifices outside of the Beis Hamikdash. Yesh litzayin, it's worth pointing out, the Roiv HaGemora Yasoik b'chipus mokor avur azhora l'shchitas chutz. Most of the Gemara will be seeking out the Torah azhora, the negative command for shchitas chutz, for the slaughtering outside of the Beis Hamikdash, the slaughtering of sacrifices outside of the Beis Hamikdash. It's important to note, in general, that before a punishment can be issued, for example, if a person is going to be chayav lashing, we find that you have to have in the Torah not only a pasuk indicating the punishment itself, but an additional pasuk indicating an azhara, that there's a Torah prohibition, a lav, a negative command. So the negative command per se is referred to by the term azhara, and the einish is an additional pasuk that indicates that there is a punishment for it. There are times, and we'll see examples of that in the Gemara, where the source for one of these elements is derived through comparing it to another element, another example. But generally speaking, we would like to see a pasuk for the oinesh and an additional pasuk indicating the azhara, the lav. We've also included a little chart that will have greater meaning once one has gone through the sugya, where sources for halal and shchita are found, the oinish and asara for each one. For the halal, ha'alah is a reference to the burning of the sacrifice, the offering up, as we refer to it, and the shchita, the slaughtering. Turning to the Gemara, the Mishnah had mentioned that there is a penalty, there is a violation, a prohibition against slaughtering and against offering up, two separate actions. And we saw that in the very opening of the Mishnah, that if one does both of these actions, even if it's in one continuum of lack of awareness, nevertheless, since they are two separate violations, they result in two separate penalties. Bishlamo halah, by way of the markings, you notice we've squiggle-lined this Bishlamo halah, and a few lines later you see Elo Shchita. But the Gemara will be saying that as far as source information for the offering up, that's fine, we can account for that. However, for the issue of the slaughtering outside of the Beis HaMikdash of sacrifices, we are not able so readily to account for the necessary two psukim for the Oynish and Azhara. One of them we will be able to spot, the Oynish Pasuk will be able to spot, but the Azhara Pasuk will be a point of difficulty to find. And the Gemara will labor upon that point. So now, as we read the Gemara, Bishlamo halah, things work out well regarding the prohibition of offering up sacrifices outside the Beis HaMikdash. Ksiv oynesh uksiv azhara. There is an oynesh pasuk and an azhara pasuk. Oynesh tichtiv ve'el pesach oil moed lo yivienu. That's a negative command, and as such, it carries with it a penalty, a punishment. Azhara. Dichtiv hishomer lecha pen ta'ale oiloi secha. The pasuk says hishomer lecha pen ta'ale oiloi secha b'chol mokum asher tir'eh. This is an azhara, a negative command regarding the prohibition of offering up sacrifices outside the Beis HaMikdash. Now, in this pasuk, you don't immediately see a negative word indicating that there is a negative command, which is the definition of an azhara. So how does the Gemara know that this is an azhara? The Gemara explains, V'chiha, the Amar Rabbi Ovin, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Kol Mokoyim Shneamar, Hishomar Pen Ve'al, Rabbi Ovin teaches us that wherever you see any one of these words, either Hishomer or the word Pen or the word Al, Eino Elo Loisase, that is indicative of a negative command, a prohibition. Elo Shchita, but as far as the action of slaughtering sacrifices outside the Beis HaMikdash, Bishlamo Oynesh Dichtiv. Granted, we have an Oynesh Pasuk which says, the El Pesach Oil Moed Lo Hevioi. We've also indicated the Pesukim in the margin of your Gemara, in the Shas Ozer marked Gemaras. This is Vayikra Perek Dalid Pasuk Yud Zayin. More accurately, Perek Yud Zayin Pasuk Dalid. Once again, Perek Yud Zayin Pasuk Dalid, and the Pasuk right before this, and you can see Pasuk Gimel is included on the side of our Gemara. It says there, Ish Ish, and it's skipping a few words, Asher Yishchat Michutz LaMachane. That Pasuk refers to the slaughtering outside the Machane, and it goes on to say, Vel Pesach O Moed Lo Hevioi, Lahakriv Korban Lashem, Lifnei Mishkan Hashem, Dam Yechoshiv Yishahu, Dam Shofoch, V'nichras ho'ishahu mikerev amo. And there in that pasuk you see the punishment of Kores featured. So this pasuk Dalit of Perek Yud Zayin is clearly an oynish pasuk for punishment for slaughtering outside the Beis HaMikdash. Ela azhara menolan. Where do you have a pasuk indicating the prohibition itself, the lav, the negative command regarding shchitas chutz? We now notice a new geometric form, a crown shape, and on the same line we'll also notice a trapezoid or volcano shape. This is indicated, the meaning of them is indicated on the outside margin. You see the mivne heading, whereby we've indicated that these shapes will continue till Kuf Zayin Omer Aleph as well. Chuvois Vasha'ela, the crown marking, are answers to the question Azhara Menolan. From where do you know the Azhara for Shchitas Chutz? Chipus Acher Mokel Azhara Shal Al Shchitas Chutz. We're searching out for a source that represents the negative command regarding slaughtering sacrifices outside the Beis HaMikdash. The volcano form will appear in a flip-flop direction, where the narrow section is facing up. We've noted in our Mivneh heading, it's a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track. So with the narrow portion facing up, those are Kushyos questions. With the narrow part of this form facing downwards, Tshuvos, those will be responses. So in seeking out a source for the Azhora for Shechitas Chutz, the Gemara continues at the first crown marking. Even before we read the Gemara, let's indicate that we are keeping track numerically of the different attempts. So you can see to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text a 1 that appears in a crown form. And as you flip over to or scroll down to Kuf Vav Amud Beis, you'll notice less than halfway down a 2. That's called 2 Aleph. And there will be a refining of that later on the Amud, a Beis. The Gemara will present a third approach at Kuf Zayin Amud Aleph. At the top line is number 3. Turning to the Gemara on Amud Aleph toward the bottom, Omar Kra, the Pasuk says in Vayikra Yud Zayin Pasuk Zayin V'loi Yizbechu Oid. The entire Pasuk, you'll notice, is found in the margin where you see Pasuk Zayin is featured. It says, V'lo yizbuchu oid es zivcheyem v'asirim asher eim zoynim achreyem chukas oylem tia zois lohem l'doy roysom. So the Pasuk says, V'lo yizbuchu oid. This, for our purposes, represents the Azhora for slaughtering sacrifices outside the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara, though, asks a question. The question itself lasts a few lines. You can see this is indicated by the long question marking in the space to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. The Gemara asks, this pasuk is not available for the Azhara for Shechitas Chutz. It's needed for something else. Hi, mi boyalei v'chad Rebbe Elazar. It's needed for Rebbe Elazar's teaching. The Omar, minayin lezoveach behema lemarkalis shehu chayav. From where do I know that the slaughtering of a sacrifice to the idol Markalis, one is guilty? We must point out beforehand that this particular idol, Markalis, had a special official form of worship, and that was by throwing stones. A pile of stones was set up, and that pile of stones was to be stoned itself. Every additional throwing of stones was the formal act of worship of this particular idol. It may be pointed out that standard slaughtering of animal sacrifices to Markalis was not standard worship. That may be a very common form of worship of other idols, but Markalis was not worshipped through animal sacrifices, but was worshipped through stoning. The question comes up right now, and that's what the Gemara is focusing on. From where do you know that even though the offering of animal sacrifices to Markalis was not the normal way of its worship, but nevertheless, if one does so, he is in violation of Avodah Zorah. And that's what Rebbe Elazar, that's what Rebbe Elazar's halacha is teaching. And once again, from where do we know that slaughtering to the Markalis one is chayav dichtiv? The Gemara goes on to say the pasuk v'lo yizbuchu oid es zivcheyem. That's the pasuk that we just quoted, thinking that it would be the source for the provision of shchutei chutz. Not so. It's used to teach me about slaughtering animal sacrifices to Markalis. Im eino inyan lichadarka dichtiv echa yavdu. If the role of this pasuk is not to describe the normal way of serving the idol. The one who serves an idol in its normal way, that's guilty by virtue of another pasuk, Dvarim Yud Beis, which says Echol Yavdu. So what am I going to do with the pasuk of Olo Yizbuchu Od in the context of Markalis? Teneu Inyan L'Shelo Kedarka. I am able to refer it, the pasuk of Olo Yizbuchu, to tell us, to teach us that there is a prohibition of serving the Markalis if it is going to be through Shechita, even though Shechita represents an unusual, it's non-normal way of worship. That having been said, the pasuk is used up. The pasuk of v'lo yizbichu ot. So where is my source for asharah for shchut echutz? Omar Rabba. Rabba answers, kri bei v'lo yizbichu, kri bei v'lo oid. The word in the pasuk v'lo, which was seen at the beginning of pasuk zayin, can be understood in a distributive fashion, namely, v'lo ziyizbichu, that's one prohibition, and reusing the word v'lo, we say v'loy oid. So one of those is a prohibition with regard to the service of markless through animal sacrifices, and the other use of the v'lo is to serve as a negative command regarding shchut echutz. The Gemara asks, though, but still, the pasuk of v'lo yizbichu is still used up for something else. We have a long question marking that you can see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara. It's rather long. It takes you down quite a bit of the way down from the top of Amud Beis. In effect, this long question is formed by a Tanaic source. Before we get into the question itself, let's glance at the outside margin. We have some information there. We have a double underline with dots in it. That emphasizes the expressions ad kan and mikan ve'elef, that up till a certain point in the Torah, it was talking about one thing, and then from that point onwards, it's talking about a different circumstance, which will become clear as we get into the Gemara. Tapnose, we have a subtopic that will be presented. Isur chutz, the prohibition of offering outside, al kochim shikdisham b'shas heter bamos and isur bamos. There will be the Gemara will feature issues, two circumstances concerning bamos. Bamos are private altars that one erects outside of the Beis Hamikdash. The source itself refers to a series of psukim in the Torah, and it says, actually, before we go on in the Gemara itself, we want to point out with the markings where the basic question appears. So if you scroll to Kuf Vav Amud Beis, or if you have the Gemara, your personal Gemara that you've already ordered, and you see on Amud Beis a dashed, underlined section toward the end of the source being that which is in a frame, you'll see there it says Talmud Loimar V'Loi Yizbichu Oid. So at that point, the Braisa will be presenting this pasuk as a lo saaseh, as a negative command regarding the topic at that point of the Gemara that concerns bamos. So the pasuk is essentially used up for something else. And we will be left with the question at that point of how will I know that there is a mocker for the azhara, source for the negative command concerning slaughtering korbanos outside of the Beis HaMikdash. So we turn to the Gemara, three lines from the bottom, and we're asking, Akati, but still mi boyole, I need it, the pasuk of v'lo yizbichu, lichedisanya, for that which is taught in the following source. Ad kan, up till this pasuk, until the pasuk of v'lo yizbichu, the psukim that appeared before that were medaber bekotchim regarded sacrifices, shekdishon b'shas isur habamos ve'krivon b'shas isur habamos. They were dedicated, sanctified during the time in history where bamos were forbidden, and offered on a boma out at the time that bamos were forbidden. We might just say historically there were different time periods when bamos were allowed and then forbidden, prohibited. So safely, if we speak about a simple case, once the Beis HaMikdash was set up in Yerushalayim, they're set in a permanent prohibition of personal altars. So the psukim that appeared before this pasuk of Alo Yizbuchu Od, which was pasuk Zion. The pasukim before that were dealing with a time period in which bamos were already forbidden, and someone had not only offered something on the bama, but he had dedicated it as a bama offering when bamos had already been forbidden. Sheharei Oinshan Amur, the pasuk speaks about the punishment for that, for someone who offers sacrifices that he was makdish and makriv b'achar iser bamos. The pasuk says ve'el pesach oil moyed, etc., and it says there v'nichras ha'ishahu. That's pasuk tes, and you can see that pasuk was cited in our margin on Amud Aleph, where the pasuk said v'al pesach ol moed lo yuvienu la'asoyis oisoy la'ashem v'nichras ha'ishahu me'amov. So from that pasuk we see an oinesh, azhora minayin. From where do I know that there is an azhora concerning one who is concerning the offering of sacrifices that he was makdish and makriv b'shas iser bamos? Dichtiv v'shomer l'cho pen ta'ale oloisecha mikan v'elach hu medaber b'zvochim shekdishon b'shas heter habamos v'krivon b'shas iser habamos. However, from that point on, the psukim are dealing with a different circumstance. It's dealing with psukim, dealing with a situation of sacrifices that one had sanctified at a time that bamos were actually allowed, namely, let us say, immediately prior to the setting up of the Beis HaMikdash. But even though they were sanctified at a time that bamos were allowed, he tarried in offering it, v'hikrivon b'shas yisir ha-bamos. But his actual offering of it was at a time that bamos were forbidden. Sharei Nemar, the posuk says, l'man asher yoviu b'nei Yisrael ezivcheim asher heim zoivchim. And the explanation of that is, zvochim shitarti loch kvar al b'nei asodeh, sacrifices that I actually had allowed to be offered. Al Pnei Asoda is a reference to the fields, a reference to personal altars. Lomar Loch, this informs us, Hazoveach B'shas Iser HaBomos, one who offers those sacrifices that he had sanctified at the time Bomos were Mutter, but he offers them at a time that Bomos are forbidden. Malav HaKosov Kilu Ikriv Al Pnei Asoda. The pasuk considers it as if he wasted it, so to speak. It's a useless action. Ve'hevi'um l'ashem zu mitzvas asei. That's a positive command, that one who sanctified a sacrifice, he's supposed to bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. Lo yisase minayin. What about a negative command regarding regarding the offering of sacrifices at Bomos? Tamalomar velo yizbichu oid. There is a lav concerning the offering of sacrifices that at a Boma, even though they were sanctified at a point that Bomos were allowed, nevertheless, his offering of it after Bomos became forbidden incurs a violation of a negative command. The pasuk it says veloiz b'chor, and by the way, as we mentioned earlier, it's from this point in the Brisa that we see that veloiz b'chor oid is used up to teach me a negative command concerning the offering of sacrifices that he sanctified at a time that bamos were mutter. Yochye onish kores. Should you think that maybe that for this there is also a kores penalty? Tamalomar chukas oilam tia zois lohem l'doiroisam. Zois lahem, this there is, namely the positive and the negative commands, veloi acheres lahem, but nothing beyond that, namely not kores. So after all said and done, the pasuk of veloi yizbuchu oid is not available for to serve as an azhara for shchut echutz. Elo omar abaye, havachomer. Notice we have our crown marking and a number 2 in the space immediate left hand side of the Gemara. We're now suggesting a second source how one would know that there is a negative command concerning slaughtering of sacrifices outside the Beis HaMikdash. So Abaye says this can be derived through Kal Vachomer logic. We've indicated a little aleph here to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, because later on the Omid you'll see 3 lines from the bottom, a beis, a second version of Abaye's approach to the matter. So as we go on in the Gemara, El Omar Abaye, Kal Vachomer. Uma b'mokoyim shaloi onash, he's here. In a place where there is no oinish, and nevertheless there is a negative command, and that would be an example of kochim that he sanctified at a time that bomos were mutter. So, mind you, in a place where there is no oinish, but there is an azhara, mokom shaonash, where you have a case where the Torah provides an oinesh, enodin shehizir, then all the more so you should be able to assume that there is an azhara. So from this point, if you have a sacrifice that one sanctified at the time that there was an Isur Bamos, where we know that there is a Pasuk that describes the Oinish concerning that, so then certainly we can assume that there is an Azhara. At this point we notice a brackets. This the length of the bracketed section is indicated by a length indicator to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara. You see a vertical dashed dotted line. The closing of these brackets, therefore, you will see 5 lines from the bottom. After the brackets, the Gemara asks on this method of concluding matters. We just concluded that there is an azhora for shchut echutz through Kal Vachomer logic. If you skip this section that's in brackets, you'll see the Gemara asks, V'chi mazirin min hadin. The expression min hadin means kal vachomer. So the Gemara there is asking, on the point that we just mentioned right before the brackets, do we assume or develop azhora? Do we develop a source for a negative command through kal vachomer logic? In fact, we don't do that. Afilu the madomer oinshin min adin, even according to the opinion it says that one is able to derive a punishment through kal vachomer logic, nevertheless, ein mazhirin min adin, but to establish a negative command through kal vachomer logic, that one does not do. So the question will remain at that point. Well, then what's going to be the source for the azhora for shchutei chutz? And to that, we see Elo Kidu Rabbi Yochanan. The source will be through a gezera shava, and that we'll see a bit later. In addition, we have, as mentioned before, a bracketed section that has its own dynamic. This is described through our comments that we've included in the margin. So if we glance, first of all, at the inside margin, at the starred note, you will see that we've written in the points that we've already said, but for the sake of completion, for the sake of being thorough, let us look at the note itself. So you'll notice on the inside margin, it says, Achrei HaSograyim, after the bracketed section, HaGemora Takshe Al Mekoro Shel Abaye. The Gemara will ask on Abaye's source that for the prohibition of Shechitas Chutz, if Abaye's source is based on Kal Vachomer logic, but we have a rule that says Ein Mazhirin Menadin, you cannot form sources for Azhara through Kal Vachomer reasoning. Within the bracketed section, the Gemara will raise questions that is indicated by a triangle with its point facing up. The Lefi Halimud Shel Abaye, the Lomad HaAzhara MiKal Vachomer, that derived the Azhara through Kal Vachomer logic. And since it was derived through Kal Vachomer, the Torah did not write an Azhara, a negative command, in an explicit fashion. Regarding another topic, the topic of chelev, forbidden fats in an animal, one could have learned the Azhara for chelev through Kal Vachomer logic. Why did the Torah nevertheless write such a thing that one could have derived through Kal Vachomer logic? Bechol shlav shel hakushya, at every stage of this question, haGemara poreches haKal Vachomer, the Gemara will reject the suggested Kal Vachomers, umatzio Kal Vachomer chadosha, and will suggest new Kal Vachomers. Ad sof hasograyim, by the time we get to the end of the bracketed section, kushya zu nifreches, the question that Ravina raises at the beginning will in fact be rejected. Namely, there is no question. V'lachein yemuvan lomo atur kosvo azhora b'chelev, and therefore it will become clear why the Torah did write an azhora posuk, a negative command regarding chelev. One will notice in Rashi, Dibur Masel V'chi Mazhirin serves as a source for our marking system in this particular case, especially with regard to the use of the brackets. If you'll notice, the Rashi on the last narrow line, he says V'chi Mazhirin Min Adin, when the Gemara raises that question, the question right after the brackets, Rashi points out Li'el Koi. This question is going back on that which was mentioned earlier, Demaisi Azhora L'Shutei Chutz MiKal Vachomer, from the attempt to show that there's a negative command for Shutei Chutz through Kal Vachomer. That whole process, that attempt took place before the bracketed section. That's exactly what Rashi is indicating when he says Li'el Koi. And we simply, through a visual means, illustrate what Rashi is commenting on. Turning now to the bracketed section. Before we do the Gemara inside, we should take note of our Mivneh note in the outside margin. Though we've already spoken it out, you can see the Mivneh, and we also indicate that this Mivneh note refers to Toch HaSograyim, the section in the brackets. The triangle pointing up represents kushios, questions. Lomo kosva Torah azora, namely alav b'chelev. Why did the Torah bother writing a negative command concerning the eating of chelev? Kishiyacholti lumoid oisoi mikal vachomer, when I could have derived the existence of a negative command through Kal Vachomer logic. With the triangle pointing downwards, pirchos, those will be challenges to the suggested Kal Vachomer. Once I can challenge the suggested Kal Vachomer, I will thereby see and realize that there is a need for an Azhara by Chelev, namely that I could not have used Kal Vachomer logic to derive such an Azhara. Turning to the bracketed section, Omar Le Ravina L'Ravashi. In Cain, if so, that you are able to derive the Azhara for Shvutei Chutz through the Kal V'chomer that you just mentioned, well, by the same token, then Lo Yomar Lav B'Chelev, let the Torah have not written a negative command concerning Chelev, the prohibition of consuming forbidden fats, V'Tesi Kal V'chomer Min Avela, and I could have derived it through Kal V'chomer logic, starting as using my starting point, the issue of Nevela. Ma as follows, Ma Nevela Shelo Onash, he's here. With regard to Nevela, there is no onash, there is no kores prohibition that accompanies the eating of Nevela. And yet, is here, there is a negative command. Chelev she'onash, chelev, which we know there is a kores penalty associated with chelev, ein odin she'is here, then I certainly should be able to assume the lav concerning chelev. Also, the Kame de Rava. So this came to Rava's attention. Omale, and now you notice the inverted triangle, a rejection. Minavela lo asya. An azhora for chelev cannot be derived by the fact there's an azhora by nevela. The ikal the mifrach, because there is room to question that Kal V'chomer, because Chelev has a certain element of it making it more stringent than Chelev. Once again, Nevela has an element making it more stringent than Chelev, and we see that here. It says, Ma'alu Nevela Shekein Metameh. A piece of Nevela that's meat from an animal that died communicates ritual impurity, which is not the case by Chelev. So the Gemara responds, well, I'll tell you, let's make a Kal V'chomer Mishrotzim Temeim. Shrotzim Temeim, there is no Kores associated with them, but there is an Azhara. Chelev, which does have a Kores penalty associated with it, then certainly we should be able to assume an Azhara by the Chelev. The Gemara says, well, this too we cannot use as a basis for the Kal V'chomer, because Ma l'shrotzim temeim shemetamin b'mashehu. Shrotzim temeim have the ability to communicate Tumah, which is not the case by Chelev. So the Gemara says, since we see we can't make a Kal V'chomer from Shrotzim Temeim, try making a Kal V'chomer Mishrotzim Tahorim. Shrotzim Tahorim are creatures that are classified as Shrotzim, but when they're dead, they do not communicate Tumah. The Gemara says, well, I can't learn from Shrotzim Torim. Ma l'Shrotzim Torim she'isuran b'mashu. The prohibition of eating Shrotzim Torim is b'mashu, a very small quantity, which is not the case by Chelev. The prohibition of Chelev is only b'kezayas, which is a larger quantity than the more stringent Shrotzim Torim. So the Gemara says, all right, so let me try to make a Kal V'chomer me'orlo v'kilei akerem. And how would that Kal V'chomer work? We would say, orlo v'kilei akerem, eating of the fruits of within 3 years of the fruit tree's life, or kilei akerem, it's mixing of varieties, planting, let us say, wheat in a grape vineyard. That's kilei akerem. One who eats those things is in violation of an azhara. However, there is no kores. So you see something that there is no oinish of kores, but yet there is a negative command. The chelev that carries with it an oinish of kores, a penalty of kores, a punishment of kores, certainly should be, one would expect it carries with it a negative command. The Gemara says, well, I can't learn from these things either. Ma'ala orlo v'kila kerem, shekein asurin bahano. They're forbidden not only in eating, they're forbidden to derive any benefit from them, which is not the case by chelev. Chelev, there may be a prohibition of eating it, but there is no prohibition in, let us say, selling it and deriving financial benefit from it. So, a new suggestion. Let's make a kavah chomer from shvius. Mishvius means from produce of the seventh year. Produce of the seventh year is not osir behano, but nevertheless, there is a negative command associated with it. Something that, once again, by shvius, we said that it's not osir behano, but nevertheless, there's no... In addition to it being not osir banal, there's no penalty of kores, but there is a negative command concerning the sabbatical year, the shvius year. Chelev, which does carry with it a kores penalty, certainly one will assume that it has an azhara. So I can't learn from shvius either, because ma l'shvius shekein tefeses domeo. Shvius has a stringency to it that chelev does not have, and that is if one sells shvius products, the money that he derives or acquires in exchange receives the sanctity associated with the sabbatical year sets upon the money itself, which is not the case if, let us say, I sold chelev, the money that I get from the chelev, or if I exchange chelev, let us say, with a piece of food, of kosher food, the kosher food does not become prohibited. Which is, as we just mentioned before, not the case when one conducts an exchange with shvius. If one has shvius produce and he exchanges it for other common food, the common food takes on the characteristics, the restrictions of shvius. So the Gemara says, all right, then let's try to make a kal vachomer from Truma. The Gemara says, I can't learn from Truma. Ma le Truma shekein lo huter michlola. I can't learn from Truma to Chelev. By Truma, Truma is a tithe given to the Kohanim. Truma is always forbidden to a non-Kohen. This is not the case when dealing with Chelev. Chelev, albeit, is prohibited. However, chelev that comes from a non-domesticated kosher animal, which is known as a chaya, that chelev is actually permissible. It's only the chelev of domesticated kosher variety animals that's prohibited. So we see that chelev actually has a leniency which truma does not have. And therefore I can't make a kal vachomer from truma to chelev. Mikulu nami, from all these attempts, I cannot make a kal vachomer. Kein lo hutru michlolan. They have no situation of allowance, of leniency, which chelev does have. And therefore, any of these attempted kal vachomers would be rejected on the grounds that if you're trying to make a kal vachomer by citing something which seems to be more lenient than chelev, but yet has an azhara associated with it, all of these items are in fact not more lenient than chelev. Chelev has this element that makes it more lenient than the rest of them, in that in the realm of chelev, it's huter michlola. There is a precedent within the realm of chelev of it being totally permissible, as in the case of chelev chaya. Omar Rava, E kashya li, ha kashya li. If I have any question, I have the following question. His point lasts a few lines. You can see that indicated by the long question marking to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. Hodisnan, the Mishnah teaches, Pesach umila mitzvas asei. The requirement of bringing a korban Pesach and the requirement of circumcising one's child are positive commands. Circumcision is not only the obligation of a father to circumcise his child, but a man must ensure that he himself is circumcised. Those are positive commands, and therefore there is no korban chatos requirement in the event that, let us say, someone does not do the circumcision, or in the event that someone does not bring his Korban Pesach, he's violated these commandments, but nevertheless, he does not bring a sin offering. A sin offering comes only when one is in violation of a negative command that carries with it a kores penalty. So the Mishnah says that Pesach and Milah are mitzvahs aseh, and therefore there is no korban chatos. Well, you're telling me that it's a mitzvahs aseh, and there's no korban chatos. Well, tesi b'kal v'chomer mimosir. Let us derive that Pesach and Milah do have a negative command associated with them, that they do have an azhara, from the case of Mosir. Ma Mosir shelo onash hizir. Before we're able to proceed any further in our sugya, we must correct a major error that we have made in the last few minutes of the shiur. We suggested before that we had a long brackets. The brackets really should be closed right before the triangle featuring Rava, where Omar Rava comes in. Rava's question, where he says "I kashili," in fact is directed back on the attempt to derive the azhara for shrute chutz from the kal v'chomer. In other words, Rava's comment is not a comment directed on the issue of the chelev. Hence, the issue concerning the chelev ended at the line just before Rava. The end of the line, you see the expression mechlolan. And at that point, the Gemara had said that I cannot learn the Azhora for Chelev from any of the other items suggested up till that point, because Chelev, in fact, has a leniency that the others do not have. And as a result, there is a need for the Torah to write out the Azhora by Chelev. It's at that point in the Gemara, then, that our bracketed section, which featured the issue of Chelev, comes to a conclusion. Rava, on the other hand, as Rashi points out, is going back to address the issue of learning an Azhara for Shchutei Chutz through a Kal V'chomer. With that in mind, let us go back and proceed to read from Omar Rava. I kashyali, Rava says, if there's anything that is difficult to me regarding deriving the azhora for shrutei chutz through a kal v'chomer, ha kashyali, the following presents a problem to me. Ha disnan, the Mishnah teaches Pesach u'milu mitzvah saseh. The Mishnah teaches us in Maseches Krisus that Pesach and Milah do not carry with them. If one, let us say, does not bring a Korban Pesach, or one does not do a Bris Milah, he does not bring a Korban Chatos. The reason for that is because Pesach and Milah do not have with them an Azhora. There is no negative command. So on that, Rava says, why should that be? Tesi b'kal v'chomer mimosir. If deriving Azhoras through Kal V'chomer is legitimate, I can make a Kal V'chomer from the topic of Moisir. Moisir is a situation where one leaves over the meat of the Korban Pesach, for example, till the next morning. One is supposed to consume the Korban Pesach that night. And the Pasuk says, Lo sosiru mimenu ad boiker. One should not leave it over till the morning. The Gemara proceeds, Ma Moisir shelo onash is here. If you focus on Mosir, you will notice that there is no kores for merely leaving over the meat. And yet there is a negative command, there's an azhora. Pesach Hamila She'onash, Pesach Hamila, which carry with them an onesh, a penalty of kores, eno din shehizir, then certainly one should assume an azhora. And if that be the case, if one doesn't perform the Pesach or the Mila, then one should bring a Korban Chatos. And yet the Mishnah declares that there is no Korban Chatos for Pesach and Mila. By that fact, that there's no Korban Chatos for Pesach and Mila, it seems that one is not entitled to derive Azhoras through the Kal B'chomer. Omer Rav Ashi, Amriso l'shmaitza kamei de Rav Kahana. I said this over to Rav Kahana, the Omar Li, and he pointed out that mi moisir lo asya, I couldn't have derived an azhora from moisir, the ikol le mifrach, ma le moisir shekein ein lo takona. I can challenge that Kal V'chomer by demonstrating that moisir actually is more stringent, in the sense that it has no takona, that if one left over the meat, that's it. He didn't eat, he didn't fulfill the eating of the Korban Pesach. He just simply left it over. Tomar b'Pesach sheyesh lo takona. That's not the case if someone, let us say, didn't bring a Korban Pesach at all. He has a solution, namely by doing Pesach Sheni in the month of Iyar. He can do a makeup Pesach. So as far as Rava's problem, trying to prove a problem with the Kal V'chomer logic in deriving an azhora for Shlutei Chutz from the issue concerning Pesach and Mila not having an azhora, that really is no problem, as the Gemara just demonstrated. However, we have a problem, and that is the original issue of deriving an azhara through a Kal V'chomer. That can't be done. V'chi mazirin min adin, is one entitled to derive azharas through Kal V'chomer logic? Afilu mandamar oinshin min adin, even according to the opinion that holds one can derive an oinesh through Kal V'chomer logic, ein mazirin min adin. Elo, so rather, the mocker for an azhara for Shlutei Chutz, Kidur Rabbi Yochanan, the Omar Asyo Havo Avo, will use a Gezero Shava. Ma lahalon lo onash elim kein hizir, afkan lo onash elim kein hizir. What is he referring to with this Gezero Shava? We look in Rashi at the bottom, Asyo Havo Avo, Shchito Mehalo, will derive the azhara for Shchita from that which we know concerning halah, the offering up of sacrifices outside the Beis HaMikdash. Ksiv b'shchita lo hevi'o, it says by shchita, that posuk, uksiv halah lo yevi'enu, it's very similar expressions. Ugezeira shava, and there is room to make a word comparison here. Hoyel umufnehi, since it is available, it's a seemingly extra expression. Ho mufni lekach, arei, since it's extra, an extra expression, it's as if it's written out explicitly. This does not have the shortcoming of a Kal V'chomer, which a person is actually entitled to make on his own. When you're dealing with a Gezeira Shava, especially a Gezeira Shava using an expression that's extra, it's as if the issue is written in the topic itself. Therefore, we have a right to view the Azhora by Shchita of Shchitas Chutz as if it's written explicitly. At the top of the next Omid, Rava will give us his approach to the matter of an azhora for Shchutei Chutz, but as far as our shir is concerned, we conclude our shir for today at this point.